Blog Talk Radio.
Talking to guest John Daughtry. He will be talking about the last Reformation. It's going to be an awesome day today. And I just want to remind everybody, you know, how the Lord Jesus Christ loves each and every one of you, and he wants to know you better. And that's one thing that this show is all about, is trying to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ to each and everybody, and plus showing everybody that the power of God is real and it still works today as it did 2,000 years ago. So I want to go ahead and welcome John to the show. How you doing, John?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today, John.
Oh, it's a real honor to be here.
It's awesome. I was wanting to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about your testimony?
Yes, I would be glad to. It's pretty remarkable. I kind of grew up in the church. My parents used to take me to a little Baptist church when I was young, and that's the way I was kind of raised. And what happened was, when I turned 12 years old, I had a very tragic event happen in my life. I was responsible for the death of my 5-year-old nephew. It was a accident, but it was my fault. And at that point in my life came crashing down, really. My life was pretty much over. A 12-year-old cannot take that kind of guilt and hurt and shame. And it basically, my life was over at age 12, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I didn't realize till many years later that it affected me physically, that I did not grow physically. When I was in the 10th grade in high school, I was only 5'2", weighed 98 pounds. And so along with that came a lot of the people picking on me and making fun of me and me feeling like I didn't belong in this world. And so my upbringing after age 12 wasn't very good. But I still called myself a Christian, and I still believed that I was going to go to heaven like they told me. But when you're away from your support group, that's when you start taking inventory of your life. And I found myself at age 19 on board of a ship 2,000 miles from shore during something called the Vietnam War. And it was there that I started getting chastised for my beliefs. And I tried the best I could to live a Christian life, but it was just dead and empty, and I had no power to do it. And so I remember the day, I remember the spot, I remember everything about the day that I turned away from my Christian upbringing. And I told God, I said, you must be this mean old curmudgeon, because you could have stopped what happened to me and what happened to my nephew, and you didn't. And I turned at that point. I had such anger towards God, toward Christianity, towards Christians. It was so evident that a friend of mine later in college, he became a Christian, and he said he wouldn't pray for me. He said it was a waste of time and breath, because he could see the anger and that's why I relate to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. He was out torturing Christians, killing them. That's pretty much the way I was. And I went like that for quite a while, until one day I met a real Christian, and that just really blew me away. I was building homes up in Chico, California. I went to Chico State University. And to me, Christians were weak, pencil necks. That's the way I viewed them. They weren't strong. They weren't tough. You know, the women always were the ones that pushed them around. But I was building homes in Chico, and this man shows up on the job, and he's from Alaska, and he's a big guy. He's got a big beard, and he's tough. And I thought, wow, this guy will be a good drinking buddy. But at break time, he sat down. Yeah, he sat down, and he opened up a Bible, and I almost fell over. I said, what? It just blew me away. But actually, God sent this guy all the way from Alaska to show me that this was a man that loved Jesus Christ. In fact, he had Jesus living in him. I could see it, and it just really blew me away. I could see the love. I could see the joy. I could see the peace. He wasn't trying to save me. It was amazing. He just looked like he felt comfortable in his own skin, and I'd never seen that before, but I was very attracted to it. And so I thought maybe there was something I missed out of the Bible. So I went home one night, and I read Ephesians, where we need to love others, and I said, yeah, I'll do that. And that didn't last very long, even in traffic. You know, all of a sudden I realized I still don't have the power to live this life. And I refuse to live an empty life that is just dead to me without the power to live it. I didn't want to be a hypocrite. So I remember telling him one day, I said, I don't need God. I said, he's for old guys and he's for weak people, and I really don't need him. And it was shortly after I said that things started changing in my life. And I almost got killed by a big giant wall falling on me. I lost my job. I buried a skill saw in my leg. All these things started crashing in around me. And I think it was God trying to get my attention. And so I was in such a mental state. I probably should have been committed to a crazy farm, because all these things were happening to me. And I moved back in with my parents down in California, in Santa Rosa. And one night when I was walking down the hall, my mother passed me in the hallway. She said, why don't you give your life to Jesus Christ? And I told her, why don't you jump in the lake? Or I said something, really bad. And I went into my room. And it was on August 4th, 1980. All of a sudden, that's all I can say is Jesus Christ came into my room uninvited. I didn't see a light. I didn't hear a voice. I don't know what he looks like, but I know what he feels like. Just like Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I've seen the Lord. Job said, I've heard about you. Now that I see you, I detest myself. And that's exactly what happened to me. All of a sudden, when he came in the room, I didn't look so good. He showed me a little video of my life. Yeah, it's amazing. And for the first time in my life. And so he showed me a video clip of my life, and I go, wow, I'm not a nice person. I would never admit that before, because I knew that I was better than Ted Bundy and Adolf Hitler, but that was probably the short list. Yeah. I'm serious. That was it. I didn't see it. I didn't have eyes to see it. And he showed me, and after he showed me that, he said the most terrible thing in the whole world to me. He said, I want you to surrender your whole life to me. And I said, whoa, not so fast. Let's cut a deal here. Let's make a deal. I'll start going to church. I'll quit punching people. I'll quit drinking, you know. And he wouldn't go away. He said, no deal. And anyway, it was at a, like I said, a point in my life where I didn't have a lot to hang on to because of all the tragedies that have been happening in my life. And so I caved in. I said, okay, take my life. And my life hasn't been the same since.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome testimony. I know Heidi Baker was doing a conference somewhere, and she said one time on stage, she said, the Lord is looking for people to die tonight. And that's not a physical death, but it's more of a spiritual thing where he can take over and take a hold of your life. Because as long as you're holding on, there's not a whole lot he could do because he's not in control of, I'll say, of you, of the car. He can't control the car and get you in the right place that you need to be as long as you're holding on. But once you let go and say, you know, no more me, but all of you, that's when he comes in and starts changing your life and making you a new man that you could be.
Amen. Yeah, he gave me the power all of a sudden. Now I had, you know, to find out that this guy that I've been angry at for all these years loved me, it just really just, I was done for, man. I was like a crybaby all night. And, yeah, he filled me with love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, gave me my life. And I really appreciate the fact that all those things happened to me when I was young because I don't have an exit strategy. My life was just absolutely hell before I met Jesus Christ. And he pulled me out of that sewer and set me at his banqueting table. There's no going back to that sewer. There's no attraction to go back to that sewer.
Amen. Amen. While we're right here, I want you to, whoever's listening to this show, I want anybody that's listening to this show right now that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you this chance right here to meet the Lord Jesus Christ that John's talking about, to meet the Lord Jesus Christ that John is talking about. Just say this prayer with me right now. Just say, Lord Jesus. To say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I repent for all the sins I've done. I hand all my sins to you, Jesus. I hand all my sins to you, Lord Jesus. And I accept that you died on the cross for me, Lord Jesus. And I accept that you rose again on the third day for me, Lord. I accept you into my heart for now and eternity. I accept you in my heart for now and in eternity, Lord Jesus. Come within my life. I accept you now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you have just said this prayer, the Lord Jesus has just came into your life. Lord, I ask you just to come upon these people and just come upon them in power and just open their heart. And whoever said this prayer, I do ask you to find a church or get a hold of our minister or the Last Reformation and, get baptized. I do offer that. So I'm going to go ahead right back with John at this time since we were just doing that. Now, John, introduce your wife to us, man.
Pardon me?
Introduce your wife to us. We've not met her yet.
Oh, she's in the house. I'm going to go give her the phone later on. You can talk to her.
Okay. What's her name?
Eva,
okay. Yeah, we're going to have Eva talking with us, too, this morning. It's going to be awesome. She's going to be talking about her side of the Last Reformation and what she's experienced. It's going to be a great time. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and go to a song, and we'll be right back.
Going right, looking for a ray of hope.
Welcome back to the Healing Light Show, and I like to thank John and everybody for coming on the show this morning, and it's going to be an awesome show. So, Mike, go ahead with the rest of the interview there, man.
All right, John, do you do a lot of work with the New Reformation movement?
No, I'm involved in the last Reformation.
Okay.
I don't know what the New Reformation is.
Oh, okay. I just said it wrong. I'm sorry. I apologize. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. What happened was my wife and I sat in church for 30 years, and we kept looking around, and we knew that Jesus said in John 14:12 that you're going to see greater things happen when he leaves. And when we looked around the church, we didn't see anything happening, and it was very frustrating. I started going into jails and prisons because I want to be used by the Lord. When he fills you with his life, you want to share that life with others. So I went into jails and prisons for pretty close to 10 years, and then because I couldn't be used in organized religion for some reason, they wouldn't let me talk, they wouldn't let me, I just couldn't use any of my gifts. So we saw Torben's videos online probably 2.5 years ago, and when I saw him living the Book of Acts, when I saw him living the Christian life, that really appealed to me, and so I said, hey, this is what I want. And so we've been going, you know, ever since that time happened, pretty much traveling around the country, training people, sharing with people, praying for people. We've been to 8 states and 3 different Canadian provinces. It's pretty much become our life. I'm semi-retired, and so I've been self-employed for many years, so that helps. And also, my daughter's a flight attendant, so we get cheap flights, so we can fly anywhere. So people contact us on the Last Reformation map, and if they want training or want us to come and help them get going, then we answer that call and we go.
So the Last Reformation is more or less training people to go out and live the life of the Book of Acts, is what you're saying, right?
Okay. The Last Reformation actually has, I think, 3 main things that make it different than most other, what I'm going to call, ministries. First off, the Last Reformation, we believe in preaching the gospel, which is Acts 2:38, where Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit. And the result of that gospel was we see 3,000 unbelievers come to faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the powerful gospel, where unbelievers are coming to Jesus Christ. Repentance is a very big key to the gospel. The night Jesus came in my room, when he told me, I want your whole life, that's what repentance looks like. It's surrendering our whole lives to him. And so we preach that gospel of Acts 2:38. The second thing that makes the Last Reformation different than other ministries is we focus on living a holy life, fearing God, living a holy life, examining ourselves, confessing sins, walking in total obedience, total light, nothing holding us back, and out of that holiness comes these signs and wonders. Out of that holiness comes the power. And the third thing that the Last Reformation focuses on is discipling. We become disciples, and then we help disciple others. That's why my wife and I travel around, is we want to give what we've been given. We've been discipled by Torben and by the Pioneer School, and now we want to disciple other people. We want to show them hands-on, this is what we do, this is how we do it, this is, this is the kind of life we live, and that's what we do. We go around discipling other people and making other disciples.
So Torben Sondergaard is actually the founder of the Last Reformation?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about him and how he started his ministry?
Okay, yeah, to the best of my knowledge, I will. I think Torben got the exact same spirit I got when I got saved, in that we want to be used by God. And when you go to a church and you just sit there on your hands, you know, for 1 or 2 hours a week and then just go home, that's not enough. That's why I started going into jails and prisons. It was, just wasn't enough. And so you realize after a while, though, that you can't be used in organized religion. And I think this is what happened with Torben. And he started really seeking the Lord on what he should do. And he fasted for 40 days, I believe. And the Lord showed him an amazing thing. The Lord showed Torben how holy God is. And I think that's really been a good thing. I think it's kept him on course. So what he did was he started a church in Denmark, and they wanted him to teach and preach a certain way, and he wouldn't do it. It was against his conscience and against the Holy Spirit. So they kicked him out of the church that he started. All of his friends left him. He didn't have hardly any money. So at the lowest, kind of the lowest point, where, like he said, he had nothing to lose, he started the Pioneer School in a little basement in Denmark, and it's really grown worldwide ever since.
Okay. And for the audience, if anybody's interested, if you go to thelastreformation.com, you can read all about Torben Sondergaard, and you can get more information. John, can you give us a little information how people might get in touch with somebody if they're interested in getting started in this kind of a training?
Yes. There's a map on the website. It's a world map, and it shows different balloons where people are involved in the Last Reformation. There's some green balloons on the map. What happened is if you want to do this full time, if you want to be all in and discipling people and helping people, Torben makes your balloon green. It's a person that he trusts that you can contact, because we all have that same vision that he has. And so we're green on the map in southern Idaho, and people have called us from all over. I mean, not only the United States, but Canada and Mexico. And we're full-time ministers. We'll pray with you. We've seen 12 people healed over the phone. We'll pray with you. We'll come. Amen. We'll come to visit you. We'll do whatever you need. You know, Jesus came to minister, not to be ministered to, and that's my heart. I have been given so much from the Lord that I just want to give it out. I just want to see people draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the power and the holiness that he wants us to walk in.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go right into the song, You Are, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have John and his wife tell us some of the testimonies that they saw during this ministry and what they have saw in their walk with this ministry. We will be right back.
When I can't find the words to say how much it hurts, you are the healing in my heart. When all that I can see are broken memories, you are the light that's in the dark. I had no tongue, I would dance for you like the rising sun. And when that day comes and I see your face, I will shout your endless glorious praise. If I
everybody to the Healing Light Show. We're talking with John Daugherty here about the Last Reformation, and we just got done talking about Torben and how he started the Last Reformation, and we're going to get right into talking about their testimonies, what they have experienced with this ministry. And John,
yes,
start with a testimony what you have saw in this ministry, things y'all have experienced.
Well, the typical things they saw in the book of Acts, you know, people, these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick. They will be healed. They will cast out demons. We've seen people baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. Every day, my wife and I see miracles. Every single day. This has become our life. I mean, we went to the mall last night and the lady was healed. We see things happen every day. It's just, it's become our life. But a couple of weeks ago, we went to the hospital, and this lady called us in for her brother-in-law to be prayed for. He couldn't walk, and he came in a wheelchair, lots of pain. And we went into his room at the hospital and prayed for him, and he was sitting on the side of the bed just shaking his head, says, "I can't believe I don't have any pain." And then we got him up and walked him down the hallway, so that the nurses could see that God didn't get the memo that he couldn't walk. But we see this kind of stuff over and over and over. Now, the healings are neat. We've seen hundreds of healings, but we reached a point where we said, you know something? We want people to come to Jesus Christ. You know, 9 of the 10 lepers left and never said anything, and that's what we were experiencing. We're going, no, 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 no. So we've become a little bit more selective on who we're going to pray for, because we want to have time to sit down and talk to them about the gospel and get them plugged into the Pioneer School, because those are the best, that's the best teaching I've ever heard. And I've been a Christian for 36 years now. And so we want to get people plugged into that. So we're seeing more and more and more of that now. And that's what we really want.
That's awesome. Now, what has your wife saw? I'll get to your wife here. What has she saw?
Well, same thing. You know, we're kind of like a team. It's amazing. We'll go someplace. We don't really go out like most people do, go out and try to minister. Our whole life is a ministry. If we're in a store, if we're in a restaurant, if we're in a post office, we see, you know, the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And that changes our whole mindset. Oh, my goodness. Everywhere we step, the light of the Lord is coming. And so our eyes are looking for people that are hurting physically, emotionally, spiritually, and we want to reach out to them. And so, if there's a woman in a store, she'll go pray for her. If it's a man, I'll go pray. But if we're by ourselves, of course, we're on our own. But, yeah. Seen the same things I've seen, and we're growing. We started out with just healing, you know, laying hands and healing, and then pretty soon we start baptizing people, then baptizing them in the Holy Spirit, and then the casting out demons. It's amazing, when I first got saved, I read the Bible and I said, wow, they had a lot of demons in the old days. I'm glad there's none today. But I changed my attitude. About in the last 3 months, I bet I've cast out 25 demons. I don't know if it's a part of the end times or what, but it's happening more and more and more. I'm getting to where I'm almost afraid to lay hands on somebody in Walmart that they might start manifesting.
Yeah, that's very true. There's a lot of that goes on, and people don't really understand that, you know, the enemy is really behind all sickness. And where sickness is, there's a demonic activity going there that's actually causing that. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff there that people don't understand. But, yeah, now with the water baptisms, what do y'all see during the water baptisms?
Yeah, that's neat you brought that up because I was going to talk about that. We believe that water baptism is very, very, very important. It's not just a symbol like the organized religions have made it. In fact, Jesus said in Mark 16 that whoever believes and is baptized is saved. And then when he gave the Great Commission, he said, go in the world, preach the gospel, and baptize. So we believe it's very important. It's a dying with Christ and being raised to new life. And we've seen, I mean, it's just a, if you go to see the movie on the Last Reformation, you'll see how powerful baptism is. We've had people watch that movie and say, I want to get baptized. And getting rebaptized is biblical. We saw it in Acts 19 where Paul rebaptized 12 men from Ephesus, and they received the Holy Spirit. We went to Spokane and spoke to about 20 people there, and 14 got baptized. And we were baptizing people in a river, and two men that were standing there in their street clothes saw it, and they wanted to get baptized. When you see how powerful it is, it changes your whole mindset that it's just a symbol and it's no big deal. It is a big deal. When demons come out of people, it's a huge deal. And so we try to help people, you know, if they were baptized as a child sprinkled, we tell them, you know, maybe you need to be rebaptized.
Yeah, that's one thing that really happened to me as a child. I was raised up as a Lutheran and we all got sprinkled. And as I went on my walk with the Lord kindly indicated that I need to get rebaptized by immersion because you've sinned a lot since you was a little baby. So, you know,
yeah.
It kindly,
yeah,
that's that new beginning there.
Yeah, it really is. So we believe it's very very powerful. If you would ask anybody in the early church, is baptism part of your salvation, they would have said, of course. But somehow over the years, we've made it something different.
Correct. Now, what other things are y'all doing pretty soon? Are y'all going out to do kickstarts pretty soon?
Well, we're planning on going to Brazil next month for 2 weeks because there's two kickstarts down there. But we'll travel anywhere anywhere to help, you know, groups of people get kickstarted, like in a small group rather than just a big event. We're definitely planning a trip to Montana. There's something going up there where several people have called me, and so we've got enough interest where we're going to go down there. There's a great big group in Sacramento that's doing really, really well. It's so exciting to see when you start out with some people that are shy and wondering and just not sure, and then within 1 or 2 months they're calling you telling you that they – you know, they're preaching the gospel. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. People are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Demons are being kicked out. And it's like giving birth to a child. It's just so exciting.
Correct. Yeah, that's awesome. Now, what have people, I mean, when they took this, what do they normally do after they get done with these kickstarts?
Well, what do they do afterwards?
Yes.
I guess it's up to the individual, you know. Some people are happy just to sit on their hands in a church for 1 or 2 hours a week, and that's good enough for them. But what's neat about this, Stan, is really that we see people that are really hungry for more and more and more of the Lord. And that is probably one of the most exciting things about being involved in this, is being around people like that, people that want, that aren't satisfied with the status quo and sitting in a church. They want to live this life. And when people realize all of a sudden it's possible, they really want to go for it. And it's so much fun being around those kind of people, and it's so much fun training those people.
Amen. Now, if somebody would want to watch this Last Reformation movie, how could they get a hold of this movie?
Yeah, it's on the website, and it's probably on YouTube. And same with the Pioneer School. I think there's the 20 lessons on the website, the Last Reformation. I think all 24 lessons are on YouTube. But yeah, we always try to get people plugged into that, because here in the privacy of your home, you can get this amazingly good, solid biblical teaching inside of you, and start realizing who we are in Christ and what He has provided for us and how we should walk. And it's just we always try to get people involved in the Pioneer School.
That's awesome. I know I saw some of the stuff what Torben was teaching, and he starts talking about how the original message was distorted at one time, but you could see through the ages how the Lord tried to open the true message through different religions, and they actually didn't always get it. They would start, Martin Luther, the priest, he took it and took the Bible from the church and tried to open up to the true message, and he didn't always get it. And then there was another one. I mean, it went through different steps to where we are today to get the true message of the Lord Jesus Christ out to everybody, and to really see the true message of the gospel and the true message of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. So it's awesome to see what Torben has been doing with this. I've been following him for a couple of years, listening to his stuff. I listen to a lot of pastors, a lot of ministers that teaches the word. You can learn something from all of them. So Torben was one guy that I really grasped onto because he taught the truth. And there's a lot of people, now that they don't really – they teach the gospel, but they don't really take all the truth and put it in there. They make what they want out of it. But he's kind of – he lays out the raw gospel and lets you see it for yourself. He doesn't put this and that in it. He just puts it straight out there. And that's what's very important to me and seeing people grow in Christ.
Yeah, amen. He's living what he's preaching too. So, and he's not all about money, and he's not all about pride and self. Like I said, he preaches holiness and walking in humility, and I think those are really good attributes.
Yeah, he's a very humble guy. I could really tell that in dealing with him at times and the things he does. He's a very humble guy. He's really about his ministry and watching it grow.
Amen. Amen.
But I do want to tell people, the Healing Light Ministries, we are getting ready to do a street evangelism thing in January. If you have took this quick start, or any of y'all that has been taught a little bit in this and wants to actually go out and pray for the sick in the street, just go to the Healing Light Ministries and just let us know that you would like to go out in the streets and pray for the sick, and you're just looking for somebody, that would want to go out with you. We're getting a gang together, and some people from the Last Reformation is coming in, some people from other ministries are coming in, and we're going to go out and preach the gospel to people on the street, laying hands on the sick, and we're going to see them recover. We have done this before, so if you're in the Charlotte area, North Carolina area, and you just want that time to actually put to practice what you have learned in the Last Reformation or a Power of Love, wherever you came from, you've been taught this, just get in contact with me on the Healing Light Show or Healing Light Ministries, or go to Stan Shell and just send me a message. And if you want to know more about the Last Reformation, have a quick start in your town, no matter where you are, go to the Last Reformation and click on one of the green dots, and they can lead you to the right person or actually set up a quick start for you. Or you can go ahead and get a hold of John Daughtry on Facebook and message him, and he would be more than happy to guide you in all the right directions that you need to do this. And I just want to go ahead and thank you, John, for coming on the show today and telling your testimony and talking about Last Reformation.
Well, my pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been a blessing to have you guys on here, and as always, Mike, thank you for coming on here and helping with the show, man.
It's always a pleasure, Stan. I always enjoy these times with you and with the guests and with the audience. It's always great to get together with anybody that loves the Lord and just share.
Yeah, it's an awesome time in the Lord. And at this time, what I normally do on this show, I normally pray for the sick on the show as well. And if anybody has an issue with their stomach, with a headache, with a hurt leg, whatever. And, John, I'm going to invite you to pray along with me, or if you want to pray, just however you want to do it. And we're going to pray for the sick right quick. And like I said, at this time, just put your hand right where this place is, where this pain is, where this ache is, where this sinus infection is, whatever it is, just put your hand right there. I mean, if you got a sinus infection, just barely lay your hand on your nose. What this does is let the Lord know that you got faith that He's going to do something. That's showing the activation of your faith is what it's doing. So just lay your hand right there. I'm going to go ahead and start praying. In Jesus' name, and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, the power of the Holy Spirit, I command all sickness to leave. I command pains to leave in Jesus' name. Command spirit of pain to leave. I command sinus infections to leave now in Jesus' name. I command muscles to grow back together. I command bones to be mended back together in Jesus' name. I command all infections, accursed infections at the root and at the seed, command them to die in Jesus' name and leave these people. I command migraines to leave now in Jesus' name. Spirit of migraine, I bind and rebuke you and command you to leave them and never return in Jesus' name. I take authority over this spirit of migraine, and I bind it, command it to go to the pit and never return in Jesus' name. I command clear mind of peace to come upon them now in Jesus' name. I command if anybody has broken arms, any broken bones, I command them to be completely mended now in Jesus' name. Command that now in Jesus' name. John, are you picking up anything, man?
Just in agreement.
Just in agreement. Okay. So at this time, you know, if you have any problems in your body, just keep your hand there. And I command there's muscle pain in somebody's leg. I don't know whether they've been really hurting or they pulled a muscle. And I command that muscle in Jesus' name to be fully healed. Be fully healed in Jesus' name. I command all muscles and tendons to be made whole now in Jesus' name. All muscles and tendons to be made whole now in Jesus' name. I command anybody has foot problems, I command all muscles and bones to be mended in Jesus' name. All pain leave 100% in Jesus' name. I command that now in Jesus' name. And so it is. And I want to thank everybody today for listening. And like I said, if you want to know more about the Last Reformation, go to lastreformation.com. And, you know, click on the information, how to get in contact with people, or you can get in touch with John Daughtry, and he can tell you where to go and the people that you need to get in contact with. And if you want to know more about the Healing Light Show, go to the Healing Light Ministries on Facebook and look up our information, or you also can go to Stan Show on Facebook and find out some things about me. And if you want to get in contact with us about going out in the street, praying for the sick, just send us a message. And you can also go on YouTube and look up the Healing Light Show and look at our conferences. And also you can go on YouTube and look up the Last Reformation. Torben has tons of information there, hours of teaching there. You can look that up and be blessed. And we will see you all next weekend. And thanks again, John, for coming on.
You bet. If anybody wants to contact me, we're on the map. We're in southern Idaho. Just click on our button and contact us, and we'll come and help any way we can.
Okay. God bless you all. We will see you next week.